The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday Night Raw, and you know what that means. It's triple. Wait, Issa, what are you doing here?
I didn't agree to this. I got tricked into being here. I thought you were going to be gone, and I thought that LaBar and Jimmy, my two favorite people, were going to be here. So I better get paid triple for this.
But I'm number three, right, of your favorite people?
No, then there's Glenn, and then there's Alfred, and there's Raj, and then all the people that send us the links and the people that put together the shows on YouTube. And then, there's a few. Of course, Nick. Nick is like up here, too, and then maybe you.
So I'm number 12, right?
No, you're like, how many employees are at Wrestling Inc. total?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, this should be an interesting show. Jimmy, you're going to have to get in the middle of this. We're going to have to. This is going to be a rough. Let me see if I can. We're going to have to fix this. You're going to have to keep things civil between us, because Issa doesn't understand that Logan Paul is better than Bad Bunny in every way. 45 million views on a frog splash.
Wow. You know what? It wouldn't take long. I can dive into my closet and pull up my ref shirt if that need be.
Don't even need to do that. Jack doesn't deserve to do that. Like, please.
Okay.
Well, we have a big show for you guys. Feel free to vote in the chat if you think Logan Paul is the best celebrity guest on WWE history, or don't. I don't know. We got a lot of stuff to cover, but we got to start with the news. That's what we always do. And I'm going to pull back the curtain. Usually I don't find the news. Someone else finds it for me. Usually Justin finds it. He's not here. I had to go find the news. So this is the news we're going to talk about. We're going to start with the news I think that everyone is talking about, and that is Kevin Owens seems to have been injured at a house show. Wrestling Inc. is currently reporting Kevin Owens may be looking at some time off due to a reported injury at a WWE house show on Sunday night. According to the Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer, Owens suffered an MCL sprain in his right knee after coming down awkwardly on a leg during a matchup against Austin Theory. The untelevised match took place during a live show. Jimmy, you've been a part of pro wrestling for a long time. This is just kind of what happens. It's a dangerous business, whether it's on TV or not.
Absolutely. That's one of the, it's sad to say, but it's one of the, like you said, one of the hazards of being in the ring. Yes. And people say, well, it's scripted, it's sports entertainment. It's still very physical and demanding on the body. People don't understand what it's like to get in that ring and take bumps. And like, it is not pleasant unless you really love what you're doing. And, you know, we wish obviously Kevin Owens all the best in his recovery. And this is going to sound weird, but thank goodness it's only a sprain as far as we know, and nothing more serious, because the MCL is nothing to sneeze at. You know, you damage that, it could, you could be out for a while.
Yeah, Issa, this was someone that a lot of people assumed was going to be joining Sheamus's team at War Games against the Bloodline. I think that now that there's an open spot, people are trying to figure out who it's going to be. Is it even possible for Logan Paul to make it back in time?
I'm getting the ref shirt right now.
No, isn't he more injured than Kevin Owens? Like, legitimate, though? Like, he had a tear, so he's going to be out for a little bit here. You know what? It would actually make sense. Not to give you any kind of freaking credit here, but it did feel like they were building something towards at least the Paul brothers against the Usos. Like, so they were teasing something there, right? So I do think if Logan Paul was healthy, maybe we would have seen a little bit of that. I don't know that you necessarily throw him in a War Games match, though. But to Jimmy's point, not only is it okay that it's a tear and it's not as serious as it could have been, it's also, outside of Survivor Series, this is not the best season for wrestling, right? So you need time off December, you know, end of November and December until we start building up for the Rumble. These are shows that are kind of dead, kind of there, just at a standstill. So obviously, it is also a good time for him to go and rest and take the time off that he needs. I think the only thing that kind of will wonder will be, was it going to be in War Games? Because outside of that, there's nothing really going, especially with day one possibly canceled now.
Yeah, it's it makes you wonder who they could bring in to fill that role. I guess they've got a lot of people who are great that they could just plug in there. Like, you could plug in a Matt Riddle and it'd be fine. I think they'll be fine, but it will be interesting to see who ends up taking that spot, because it's Braun, Brutes, and Drew. I don't know, they could throw in a lot of people in there. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, but imagine with Sammy on one side and Kevin on the other, and them kind of looking at each other, nodding, and both walking out at the same time and leaving both their teams hanging, you know what I mean, and kind of forming their own little reunion, so to speak.
Or they look at each other and Sami Zayn gives him the haluva kick because he's Bloodline now. You got to stick with you.
Okay.
That will be super oozy of him.
That'd be so oozy of him. That's where Issa and I park our cars in the same garage. We're both the Bloodline people.
There you go.
Forever.
So,
we the ones, baby.
We the ones.
You just move two people in the list. You just move. You're still like, you're still like number 27, but you moved up, you know.
Okay. Take that, Nick Houseman. We also have some other news that came about, and this one surprised me, but apparently someone asked Shawn Michaels whether or not he thinks he's a better wrestler than Bret Hart. And Shawn Michaels had this to say. He said, "It's the age-old question, who's better, Shawn or Bret? At some point, it dawned on me, oh my goodness, yeah, Bret was easily a better wrestler than I am, but I think I was a better performer. When we came into the age of sports entertainer, I think that was my space. That was my era. It had to do with more than just the technical wrestling of a match. It had to do with the emotion and story. And also, look, the charisma, the entrance, all of it sort of combined. At the end of the day, there's no defining the best and the greatest and all that kind of stuff in this line of work. Every bit of it is personal preference. And I try to remind everybody, like, hey, just the fact that I'm even in the conversation is freaking fantastic with me." Issa, is Shawn Michaels a better wrestler than Bret Hart?
Wrestler?
That was the way the question was posed.
Why are you putting me in the spot like that? Why are you putting me in the spot like that? I think both of these men are so equally talented that this could be a debate that could be had in wrestling forever. And I think people will go one way or the other. And you're not wrong either way, right? Yeah. Right. Do I have a preference? Yes.
It's Feet Shawn to the Michaels. Fire. Who's Shawn Michaels?
It's Shawn Michaels, yes. But, okay. But I do think that it's up to whoever is talking about it, right? Like, you might like Bret Hart, I might like Shawn Michaels. It's all depending on the view, and it's true. When people say, oh, you're top five wrestlers of all time, it's like, no, you can't just like automatically get overwhelmed. Like, no, because you have people on the mic, you have characters, you have wrestlers. Like, are we talking overall? Like, there's so many different categories. So I actually really enjoyed the response that he gave.
It is the most mature response, which ironically, if you think about who Shawn Michaels was at one point, you'd never expect me to be saying he's giving the mature response. But here we are. Jimmy, who's the better wrestler, Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels?
Well, again, that's a subjective question. And you got to talk. Are you talking pro wrestler, sports entertainer? It's the same thing. It's the overall picture. You can't just, like, if you're talking about in-ring work, as far as from a technical standpoint, Bret is a master. And, you know, you can't deny that. But if you're talking about from a character development standpoint and being able to engage the audience, Shawn Michaels gets a bit of a nod there. So I call it a wash.
Beats the fire, though, if you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one, if I'm a businessman looking to make money, man, sorry, my fellow Canadian, but I got to go with Shawn.
Wow, heel turn by Jimmy Cordero's right here, right now.
I know. I'm the Canadian.
Jimmy just threw Bret through that barbershop window.
No, well, actually, more like a super kick. But anyway, no, and it's not. It's no disrespect intended towards Bret. I just, you know, when it comes to heel and babyface stuff, Shawn covers more bases that way for me, anyways.
Wow. Bret had the better colors, the pink and the black. I was always a big sucker for that. They're my two favorite colors still.
Oh, I would have, when I was a kid, I would have killed someone to get one of those pairs of sunglasses that Bret Hart had. Like, those were like just the coolest things in the world to me. But but I would never compare the two. I would never try to pick one over the other. You guys, I can't believe you guys actually picked one. I mean, shame on you both. But
you asked. You asked.
But let's get into the show. Before we do, thank you to everyone who is listening on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, wherever they call it these days. Thank you for everyone who's watching on YouTube. If you're watching later, hit the like button, share, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. And if you're in the chat right now, we appreciate you, whether it be Justine or Dylan or Dream Realm or Ricky or Baby Ice, or we got another Issa in the chat, by the way, or Casey or M Rouse in the house, Segovia, Sabas Segovia. So let me know if I'm saying your name right. But everyone, thank you so much for joining us, and let us know what you think of the show. And Ian and Adam, I see you guys too. Sergio, thank you guys so much for being there. Wrestling is art. Let's get on with this show. This was a hectic show. I was taking notes and there was all this stuff. My notes look like a conspiracy theorist pin board with like the yarn connecting all these different like things happening. Let's just start from the top. Seth Rollins comes out and he says that he makes the US Championship the top prize on Monday night. Bobby Lashley comes out and he wants a shot. Then Ali comes out and we get Bobby Lashley versus Ali. And Lashley just beats the snot out of Ali and gets the win. Issa, I want to start with you. Is this making Ali look like a plucky underdog fighter with a lot of heart? Or does he look like a dummy who doesn't know when to stop getting beat up?
An idiot. Because
this was like three in a row that he's just gotten like beaten
up. An idiot. Not even that. You saw how out of control Bobby Lashley was last Monday, right? That's how we ended the show. He yeeted you twice. He went out there. He messed up, Seth Rollins. He went after Theory. Why would anyone in the right mind want to take a match with him? They think that he's just going to be in a better mood this week. Like, that's not how it works. I was watching and screaming, why would anyone agree to a match with Bobby Lashley after seeing the way he behaved last week? I don't think that did this Ali any favors. Or Lashley, because he also feels like he's been all over the place. He's talked about going for the titles, like the main titles. He's talked about going after Brock. Now he's going for the U.S. title. So I also feel like a lot of people tonight, for me, felt a little all over the place. Like, we don't know which direction we're going with them, and we're just testing the waters. And I do think that Lashley was one of them.
Yeah, he feels like it. And Jimmy, I want to go to you on this, because this is kind of in that vein. Lashley and Rollins both seem to be very subtly and slowly changing sort of what they, how we're supposed to perceive them. I think 6 months ago, if they wanted to make a change, they would have had a very blatant, like, Bobby Lashley cheats or something, or whatever the case is, where these two both seem to be kind of going opposite directions, but very subtly. And just, what are your thoughts on where this is going with these guys?
No, I kind of like the new attitude from Bobby. He's showing a different side to himself, because showing a side that we didn't, at least I didn't know, I have never seen him bring out. And I'm enjoying it. And I'm liking Bobby as a character, because we all know Bobby can go in the ring and he looks like a million bucks too. So, you know, this new edgier attitude from him, I'm enjoying. And Seth's just, people want to cheer him regardless of what he does and how crazy he acts and how he dresses and whatever the case may be. People want to cheer him and want to cheer Becky Lynch, as a matter of fact, too. So it seems to run in the family, for that matter. So it only makes sense for this to happen. My only issue was the way it started. I loved having Seth come out at the beginning and get that reaction. But then we get that 3-minute recap of what happened last week. Why not show the 3-minute recap first?
Mm-hmm.
And then have Seth come out, and you probably would have got an even bigger pop. I don't know. Instead of having him wait there in the and probably, you know, jaw-jacking with the crowd while the video's going on.
You know, I always think it's awkward when they have to stand in the ring while a long video plays, and you're just kind of like, what do you do? I don't know.
Yeah. But other than that, yes. The other thing too is Ali did look like a punching bag again this week, and I don't know. I don't know what the answer is for him right now. At least if he got some offense in against the big Bobby Lashley, you know, it would have helped him a little. But he was a punching bag, and it didn't help him at all.
There was someone, and we'll get to it later in the night, that I think did exactly what I was thinking that Ali was going to do. But look, and I get that Bobby's the big guy and we're supposed to like make him look that way. But like I said, this is like 3 weeks in a row where he got beat up today. Last week, he got thrown over all the cargo boxes like a rag doll. It just.
There's no excitement when he comes out. There isn't. Yeah. You just know that you know what he's here to do. And I wish that wasn't the case anymore, but that's how they booked him. So why would you even think? My reaction was like, why are you out here? Why are you trying to get beat up again? Literally, as soon as the music hit and I realized it was him, that was my first thought.
Yeah. Ali, you need a friend to stop you. So you need an intervention right now, because this isn't good. I like Ali. I hope he finds a way through all this. But for now, I don't get it. We get a little backstage segment that leads to a match. The OC is chatting, and AJ challenges Finn Balor to a match at Survivor Series, and Gallows says he's good with the ladies again. He really wants to make sure that gets over. We then get a Mia Yim versus Tamina match. Ripley and Dom, they watch on as Mia makes pretty quick work of Tamina, and then after the match, Mia invites Ripley into the ring, but Ripley thinks twice about it. Jimmy, of course, there's going to be a little bit more that plays out with this whole thing, but for this part of the show, what were your thoughts just on Mia Yim's return match and, I guess, re-debut?
Yeah, obviously, against someone like Tamina, who is, you know, big and bad, it was a good victory for her to show that she is on the upper level, especially against someone like Rhea, because Rhea's got a lot of momentum going in, and she's got a lot of heat on her, and people, she's believable as a kick-ass. So they did a good job of doing the same with Mia Yim here, reminding everybody that she's a kick-ass as well. And I like that they teased a little bit of an interaction afterwards, but then Rhea, like the good heel she is, steps out and says, not today. Make people wait for it.
Which I absolutely loved. And Issa, I want to get your thoughts on that. And the post-match recruiting effort by Damage Control to Mia Yim. Mia Yim says no, kind of expected it. But how do you feel about this recruiting effort by Damage Control early on? And I want to ask you this too. This just bugged me. It bugs me for no reason, but Mia Yim is wearing black and blue, but the OC is wearing red and black. And I like it when teams match. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. Anyways, what were your thoughts?
I see your point. I do. I am a sucker for a presentation of a team, and I'm hoping that when we see them fight as a team, maybe they'll match, but they haven't fought together.
Yeah.
While they are a together team, they haven't fought really together. So I appreciated Damage Control trying to recruit Mia. I really like that. I thought it's smart, right? You got to get the baddest in there, but it also makes you wonder, why hasn't nobody tried to recruit Rhea? Like, why wouldn't anybody try to recruit Rhea before even Mia Yim? Like, the reason why they even brought up Mia Yim is to control Rhea Ripley. So why wouldn't you want that problem in your team, right? The match itself, though, I wasn't a fan of. I liked the interaction afterwards. I did think, even though it was a fast match, I don't know that they had a lot of chemistry there. But it was just, I mean, Mia hasn't been here for a while. I don't know if she's worked with Tamina before. I'm not going to overpick on a match that was supposed to just put Mia Yim over and make her look strong. It did do that. So, yeah, overall, I'm pretty happy to see Mia Yim back in WWE. And I think it's a fun story to put her right in Rhea, who has been booked so dominantly without even wrestling. She's wrestled one match, but she's still like the one that nobody messes with. So it's a fun way to debut her, and we see where it goes.
Yeah, Rhea may be the most like over women's wrestler right now, and she's not wrestling, which is insane. But
she's wrestled one match in like almost 200 days, and it was on NXT. Like, that's crazy to me how strong she's looked and how she made the Judgment Day better. Overall, as a faction.
Again, it just goes to show you how personality attracts and gets people invested. Yes, you could do all the twisting, burning 450 hammer phoenix splashes in the world, but it's people get invested in people.
I do love a twisting 450 burning hammer splash. but we continue on, and Matt Riddle runs into the Alpha Academy, and they go back and forth a few times, and they decide they're going to have a fight. It's a great matchup. I thought kind of an early match of the night contender here, but I thought it was a bit of a surprise win. Issa, Alpha Academy, back-to-back singles wins. Is this the start of something bigger for them, you think, or is this going to just kind of lead to a match at Survivor Series and then burn off?
I mean, hopefully, you know, we'll see. I'm more worried about Riddle. Riddle's one of those people that I was telling you felt a little, I don't know what direction they're going with him, but this doesn't feel like the right direction. And we do see a lot of that with Riddle when Randy's not there, right? I feel like when Randy's there, he's booked so strong, he's so over. And then when Randy's not there, you're just putting him in random feels that he kind of loses. He goes into a 50 booking. At least they did the angle with Otis here, you know, kind of helping Chad Gable win. So it doesn't completely make Matt Riddle look weak. However, the match itself, a banger. The reasoning behind the match, or did I feel invested? No, but now that you mentioned that there's a little bit of a winning streak going into next week, I'm going to keep an eye on what American Alpha is doing. So I don't know who they're trying to get over here, but the Bungles and the silly Matt Riddle, after having such an intense all the way to fight pit with Seth Rollins, he just feels a little, what are we doing here with him?
Yeah, he's someone, him and Alpha Academy, I feel like are almost victims of their own success in being silly and being funny and being able to bounce back from losses and kind of being plug and play, because you could kind of just have Matt Riddle walk in on anybody and have a match.
Yeah, he was so intense in that feud with Rollins. Like, so intense in that feud with Rollins when they were, like, really speaking to each other, bringing up real life stuff, and you saw a different side of Riddle. And just to see him go back to this after that.
Because he was great. I thought they were going to get way more serious and have him start getting more to the MMA side of things. And Jimmy, I want to talk about that. One, I feel like I was watching this, and it wasn't until like halfway through the match where I thought, oh yeah, Matt Riddle's also like what's the word I want to use? You know, Gable's got the Olympic wrestling background, but Riddle's got the MMA background. Right. I forgot about that because the way Riddle's presented, but I think it's because it's so easy to just say, oh, just have him be silly and we'll get back to him later.
See, that's the problem. He's losing a lot of steam here. And yes, I get it. The heels won in heel fashion here, cheating to win. But at the same time, how many times has Riddle lost? And like you said too, Jack, this whole thing with the Bro 420 shirt and him going around with his bongs. It's almost like an updated version of what R-Truth was for a while there. And don't get me wrong, R-Truth is another guy who can wrestle.
Yeah.
His butt off. And Matt Riddle is one of those guys too. So I don't know if this is this generation's R-Truth and this is where he's stuck to be without Randy Orton. I don't know.
I was thinking he reminds me a lot of someone who we see later in the show, and that he reminds me a lot of a Dolph Ziggler, where we're like, he's great, he's funny, we can plug him in anywhere, he always has great matches. We have nothing for him now, but we'll have something for him later. And then before you know it, you know, 5 years go by and you're like, Dolph Ziggler, he never wins.
Yeah. But the difference is Dolph Ziggler is extremely underrated right now. The guy is so
fun. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which we know. It's just, you know, I don't want to say his time has passed, but they're not seeing it in him right now. But we'll talk about him, what he did later anyway. So never mind.
Well, we get to the next part of the show, which is definitely a, this is where I got a little frustrated with the show. This is where Jack's frustration moment here. And that was Miz TV hosted by Byron Saxton. Miz admits that he paid Dexter and says that he wanted some empathy and that he helped Dexter Lumis, and he's been home all week depressed. But Gargano comes out and says the Miz was in Cancun. And so the Miz wants to know why Johnny is butting in, but he never actually gives an answer to why. But we do get the match, Miz versus Lumis at Survivor Series. If Dexter wins, he gets the money that he's owed and a contract. This, Jimmy, this is a, this whole thing, I feel like I've never, it was built as a mystery, and I feel like it was never really answered, and then the answer's kind of weak, but I don't know why. I don't know. This feels like it's a very long, drawn-out story that isn't that complicated or interesting.
Well, I don't know about that. I am enjoying how Miz is presenting it, though, because Miz is, you talk about underrated heels. Miz is just fantastic at generating heat, and he's taking that real-life heat that he had backstage from years ago, and now the fans are aware of it, and at least the ones, the hardcore fans know about it. But he's playing into their feelings for him, and he is just not liked by the wrestling audience. And for him saying, I wanted some empathy and stuff like that, if it was somebody you felt for, you would probably go, aw. But it's Miz, and everybody went, oh, come on. You know what I mean? Which got the desired reaction, in my opinion, anyways, got this desired reaction. You dislike him more now because of that.
I guess, like, I like the players. I thought Miz was actually incredible in this. I thought his promo was actually really, really good. It's just, Issa, how do you feel? I feel like I just don't care, like, about this whole buildup and story.
Same. My notes for this says, I can't stand this segment. That's all I wrote down.
That cardigan did look very comfy, though. I was like, you know,
I did like the outfit. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, okay, he's trying to come out and gain some sympathy, look relatable. Like, I gave him props. The Miz is fantastic, and he tries his best with whatever it is that you give him. This just is not hitting for me. There's just like a disconnect. I thought it was going somewhere different, and I think the big reveal was a little underwhelming, at least for me. And now I don't care. Like, put the match on main event and let's just move on.
It does, because I think that this whole story was definitely, if this was a 1 month feud, I'd go, oh, this is great, fun, silly, kind of throwaway thing. But now that we're on like month three of it, I'm like, okay, like, I feel like it's not even that big of a deal, like what Biz did.
Would have made more sense for Dexter to be, well, I guess maybe they're trying to put him as a baby face. I don't know. But would it make more sense for Dexter to be the one blackmailing people in order to try to get a contract? He's the psychopath. Like, that would have made so much more sense for The Miz. The Miz got money. He's got connections. Then move on to somebody else. I don't know. It's just like The Miz paying Dexter. It just seems silly.
Yeah, the way my crazy mind works now that you guys have been talking about it, there is maybe something even crazier in the works.
Like, better be pretty crazy.
Well, you know, you talk about Dexter as a baby face, and everybody's going, Dexter is a baby face. So come on. Maybe he's not in the end, but let's leave it at that. I don't want to give away.
Oh, I would like that, because I don't see him as a baby face at this point after breaking into the Miz's home.
Well, I never saw it as a baby face, which is why I don't understand why you couldn't do the whole he's the one blackmailing people or trying to like do whatever it takes to get this contract, right? But hey, Jimmy, maybe I just hate using that. I'm gonna let it play out just to be disappointed, and I have been disappointed so far the entire duration of this feud. I don't trust that I'm gonna let it play out, but maybe. You know, wishful thinking.
Yeah, maybe it's because I'm a Jeter fan, so I'm you know, looking forward to see where this goes for him.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see how it plays out. I guess
it's not doing. I tell you one thing: it's not doing Johnny Gargano any favors.
It does. He does come across to me as the jerk. every time. Mm-hmm. It feels like he's someone who's butting into other people's business and not really helping, you know, because he's not even actually.
And you're starting to see a lot of reactions in social media responses to some of the things that he's doing, that people are just not enjoying it as much as they typically enjoy Johnny Gargano.
Okay.
And again, I'm a huge Johnny Gargano fan. I actually am really excited that he's on TV. This feels like a very weird setup. But earlier in the night, this was one of my favorite moments, when Dominic Mysterio was making fun of Shelton Benjamin from behind Damian Priest and kind of like almost like a scrappy do, I guess, while someone else was in front of him. And Priest says, "Let's fight." So Shelton Benjamin says, "Okay, let's fight, Dominic." And then we get the Dominic versus Shelton Benjamin match. Lots of shenanigans from the Judgment Day, as you'd expect. Dominic gets the win. Jimmy Corderas, Corduroy, we have sang the praises of Shelton Benjamin on this show before. He lost, but is this potentially Shelton Benjamin coming back on TV? He's had some promos, he's had some matches. Is this a resurgence for Shelton?
I don't know if I would call it a resurgence. I think this is more that people recognize his past and how good he really is, and to it, and beating someone like a Shelton Benjamin, who, you know, in like the backstage area, everybody knows that this guy is a legit, you know, butt kicker. Let's put it this way. You know, people talk about Brock Lesnar, they forget that Shelton Benjamin is on that level. And when you talk about people you don't want to mess with in the back, Shelton is one of them. Anyway, again, if you don't make someone, you haven't beaten anyone. And Shelton is pretty much a made man. They showed his accolades. I love the fact that they showed how many past championships and stuff like that. So Dominic beating people like a Shelton Benjamin can only help Dominic. And I think that's his role right now, is to help elevate other talent. And he does have other backstage duties as well. But on TV, I don't know if this is going to elevate him to a more prominent status on TV, but he is someone who can elevate young talent, definitely.
Shelton Benjamin, much bigger than you think he would be, too, as far as like wide. Like, he's a
deceptively.
He is a stout fella.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
But Issa, I want to talk to you about Dominic Mysterio. We've never chatted about Dominic Mysterio. I would love to know your thoughts on how the young fella is developing as a member of Judgment Day.
Look, this is the most invested I've ever been into anything Dominic Mysterio has done. I'll admit that. I also got a huge laugh out of him calling Rey Mysterio the deadbeat dad tonight. Like, it took me a second to connect the line. But he was like, "What about my deadbeat dad?" And I'm like, "Wait, you're talking about Rey Mysterio?" But there's still a little bit of a disconnect with him and the Judgment Day. Like, I just don't feel like he belongs there. Like, I'm into it because Rhea is with him. But as soon as he starts speaking, I'm like, yeah, no. You know what I mean? I still need to see a little bit more from him. And I don't know what's not clicking for me. At the same time, I do think that the Rey and Dominic Mysterio match should happen in a big stage. So keep them apart for a little while. I love that they moved Dominic to SmackDown. I mean, sorry, Rey to SmackDown. We're going to keep them apart. And he helps Dominic grow. He's not 100% there for me yet, but is this the most invested I have been since he's been in WWE? Yes.
I agree with what you're saying, Issa, to a certain point, but I also see much improvement in Dominic, and I see him getting a little more comfortable in this role.
That I know.
So this is definitely helping him. And like you guys said, the match between father and son should happen on the big stage. That to me sounds like a WrestleMania moment.
It does. Yeah. It feels like, especially recently, his growth has like gotten exponentially faster. Like he was growing, but then as of late, it's been going way up, like way faster. And I think watching today, he's able to lean into sort of just imitating Eddie Guerrero in a way that, yeah. I mean, if you're imitating Eddie Guerrero, you're going to do good, but also because
I mean, that's his father. Story,
yeah. Like we're going to hate him for doing it even more. Like, it's just like, it's just a very simple, you know, the keep it simple thing. Like, it's simple, it works, and it's a great way for thing for him to lean into. So
I will say one thing. If you need him to grow, whether it is on promos, you know, on the mic or whatever, you did put him in there in a faction with three people that are extremely comfortable. They go out there, they exude confidence. So you could not pair him with a better trio, because there's just nothing like any of them come out solo and they have that it factor, right? I think Finn Balor has it, Rhea Ripley has it, Damian Priest has it. So it doesn't get any better, and maybe that's why I struggle to see him fitting in with the Judgment Day, because, you know, he's still learning and growing compared to these three performers that are already made. But I will say this, like, it makes you wonder, okay, what did they see in Dominic, right? Because why would they want to be hanging out with Dominic? There's got to be something there. And that does keep me tuned in. But I do think that Judgment Day, from when they started with the weird vampire moment that they have with Edge and Damian Priest, to kicking off Edge to where they're at now, that's a 180, and it doesn't get talked about enough. I really am enjoying what the Judgment Day is doing.
You're right. So it's going to be one of those things where I think we'll look back at the Judgment Day and people are like, wait, Edge was in it? That, what a weird, you know, it's going to feel so different than what it is now once it's all said and done, that it's going to feel like that wasn't real Judgment Day. You know, that was something else. So yeah, I think probably just for hyperbole's sake, probably the greatest like stable turnaround ever. I can't imagine. I can't remember a stable that started off one way, turned it around and made it become so much better. And not breaking up and falling apart in the process. Speaking of breaking up and falling apart in the process, Dana Brooke had a match with Io Sky, a fairly quick one, and Io got the win. Story of the match, though, is Mia Yim comes out, says she's joined Team Bianca, and of course, later in the night, Ripley says she's going to join Damage Control to get to Mia Yim. Issa, I get it. This is the way it's supposed to be. The matchup makes sense, but it feels like Mia Yim was kind of being a jerk in this case, because Damage Control's like, we'd love to have you on our team, and she was like, no thanks, I'm joining the other guys so I can beat you up. I was like, what? They didn't do anything mean to Mia Yim. Why is she like trying to fight them?
Right. Agreed. It was a weird booking choice here. At the same time, I shared this with you guys earlier. It bothers me that Rhea had to go join a team when I feel like both of these teams should have been after her, just because she's so dominant and is somebody that you will want on your corner. Even Bianca, who has the stare downs that we're all waiting for the match to happen, should recognize the threat that Rhea is and say, listen, let's coexist for one night, you know? So I don't like that Rhea has to go to them and be like, okay, fine, I'll join you. I think people should have been after her, which is why I appreciate it when she got recruited to go down to NXT. I was like, that's a smart choice. That's who I would want us to pick as my poison, right? But I agree with you. I did think that Mia came off as, because I didn't think Damage Control was wrong in the way they tried to recruit her or said anything that should have triggered her to like go in a different direction. It felt like I was watching Love is Blind and somebody was saying not at the altar. You know, that's all.
Yeah, it's just, I agree. I just feel like they were nice about it. If they were like, join us or you're going to regret it when we're going to beat you up or something, then I could see you. Right. There's like, we'd love to have you on our team. We're big fans. And she's like, no, thanks. I'm going to beat you up. but yeah, Jimmy, I think to Issa's point, I agree with what she's saying. I feel like if anything, we should have seen 3 weeks of people trying to like court Ripley and be like, if you join our team, we'll give you this. You got to join our team. Instead of her just going, I'm joining your team. It is kind of a boss move now that I think about it, though. She's like, no, I'm on your team. You don't get
to choose. Yeah, and if you're really, like, she is a dominant person on the female roster. So to make her even feel, like, more dominant when people are trying, like you said, trying to recruit her and asking her to join us in this fight for them, you know, we need you or we want you on our side, that puts Rhea over even that much more. And, you know, in her heel fashion, of course, she could say to the one, no, I'm not joining you guys. No, no. What are you offering me other than a spot on your team?
Right.
Make it worth my while.
Yes.
What is it going to work? Look, you know, like Bianca Belair, like you said, we can coexist for one match. I'll tell you what, you join us for this match, and somewhere down the line, I will offer you a title opportunity or something like that. You know, to make her seem like the big deal that she is.
So, speaking of big deals, we've got one missing spot on these teams. I believe the bad guy side is all filled up. Damage Control, they're all filled up. They got five. The Goody Two Shoes, though, they're missing a person. Issa, we'll start with you. Do you have a prediction on who the last person is going to be?
I can see it being Candice LeRae, since she has Tori, and it was Io and Dakota who technically took her out, if I'm remembering correctly. So that's who I'm thinking. I'm trying to not go crazy and fantasy book something that won't happen. So I'm going to stick with the safe choice.
Always a good move. People sometimes get a little in over their heads with the fantasy booking. And
then you get mad when it doesn't happen. And he's like, bro, you made that whole storyline in your head. Don't be mad at WWE.
Right. They did nothing. They did nothing to promise that. That's all on you.
Right.
Jimmy, who's your prediction? I feel like Candice LeRae is probably the right pick. But
it makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. But if you're looking at someone to come back and make a return, and I know a lot of people don't like the nostalgia trip, but they also took out Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
And if, you know, Beth Phoenix coming back to join them and helping out would be interesting, especially with Rhea now on the other side.
I would love to see Piper Niven come back or Doudrop.
That would be good because she was involved with Nikki Cross. I like the choices that we're making here because all of these women make sense. Even people in the chat saying Becky returns. Well, we saw Becky leave in Damage Control coming back. I just wanted to be someone that has something to do with this story and not let's just throw this person for the pop that makes no sense why they're here.
Right.
So that's all that I'm saying. Like, I think Becky, Doudrop, I think Beth Phoenix and Candice LeRae, all four of these choices will make sense. They've been involved with these women one way or another.
Makes sense.
Right, either way, it should be fun. I'm excited. This is the first Survivor Series I'm like super pumped for in a long time. So I'm excited. We've got Austin Theory, part one of the night. We're going to start. So he cuts a promo and he defends his choice to not cash in on Roman Reigns because the scenario just didn't exist. So he went after.
Is he scared?
Because of what? Oh, he's scared. Well, he should be scared. I wouldn't cash in on Roman Reigns either.
Exactly.
So instead he says, I cash in on one of the greatest of all time, Seth Rollins. But then Bobby Lashley cost him, and Ziggler says his cash in was the greatest. And Austin Theory's was the worst. So now they decide to have a fight. We get the match, and Ziggler is no cell phone, really selling that it's the worst cash-in ever on commentary, but also that this is a different Austin Theory, and it changed him. It ends with Theory hitting the A-Town down again and again, and then Bobby Lashley and Dolph Ziggler until the match. I can't remember. It seemed like it got thrown out, but it should have been a DQ. Jimmy, can you clear that up for us? Was this a DQ or was it thrown out?
They didn't really specify because the ring announcer did not make the announcement at the end of the match. They didn't say that the referee has thrown this match out or the referee has disqualified or they were out for a long time. You could have even called it a double count out for shiggles, as they say, you know what I mean? But, I question the call of the match, the referee just throwing it out and calling it a no contest or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, I do like two things. I like the explanation afterwards, Austin Theory saying that, you know what, it was maybe the Money in the Bank briefcase was a crutch holding him back. And now that he doesn't have it, he could unleash himself. I like this new attitude from Austin Theory. I like this new aggressive attitude. It's very heelish is what he's supposed to be. And I don't know what else to add to that, except this new direction he's going in. The only thing I will say is this is happening at the same time Bobby's doing the same thing. Yeah. So it's a little too similar. You know, maybe have that moaning period about, you know, the cash in for a little bit before showing this aggressive side.
I love how this was, Corey Graves was actually really good during this, because I love how he's saying when you lose everything, you're free to do anything. I do think that Austin Theory jumped the gun a little bit on using the stairs. I think he was supposed to wait till a cash out or so, or a count out before he did that. But and then they were kind of like, now, Issa, how do you feel about this new direction of Austin Theory? Are you buying it, or do you still feel like Austin Theory is still the selfie guy?
I didn't like that he called the briefcase like a holdback. I hated that. Completely hated it. Like, no, it's not a holdback. It's an opportunity that you didn't know how to use. I did think the change of attitude makes perfect sense, right? You look silly, and people are making fun of you, so it makes sense. I just think they did it too fast. Like, he went from the worst cashing to standing tall in a week. I don't buy it for him to just for it to happen that fast, but it makes sense.
Do you? Because I agree with both of I agree with both of you, and I feel like, as we talked about throughout this episode, it feels like they are trying a lot of things and sort of doing a lot of stuff really quickly here. It does. I would have liked to have seen Austin Theory go through a little bit more of a nothing's going right period before this change. But I don't know. Maybe they're saying we need to get from point A to point B too fast. I do like this new theory over what he was before, because I felt like there were people doing. I felt like, all jokes aside about Logan Paul, he was doing the selfie thing better than Austin Theory was. And I think even Grayson Waller on NXT is kind of playing that kind of character a little bit better. And I think this is the right place for him, but it did feel a little bit like they said, okay, that's done. Next thing, forget everything you saw before. Yeah. Let's just move on. Mm-hmm. No. It's good to see Ziggler back, though. Those guys had a great
match. The match was incredible.
Yeah. Can we get a better finisher for Theory, though? I hate his finisher. What do you guys think of the finisher? I feel like I hate it. I feel like it feels like a setup move. It doesn't feel like the move, if that makes sense.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't have a problem with it. I'm okay with it. It's something that hopefully doesn't get kicked out too often. And when someone does kick out of it, it naturally means something. That's all. Which seems to be a problem industry-wide now, not just, you know, but anyways, that's a different topic for another day or another rant.
It feels very Seth Rollins Falcon Arrow move, you know, where you're like, oh, he does, he always goes for the pin, but no, he's not supposed to win with it.
Or that double superplex that he does too, that I'm glad Finn reversed it tonight, because I always hate that he hits it and he never finishes anybody with it.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what he would use. I know he used to do like a TKO, but I think because of Orton, they don't want him doing it because it looks a little too RKO-y. Right. I don't know. Austin Theory, I know you're watching. If you could just do me a favor and just like maybe workshop a few moves. Yeah.
There you go.
So we get one of my favorite running bits throughout the night, and this was surprisingly entertaining for me. Baron Corbin and JBL playing cards backstage, which, Jimmy, as you would attest to, very in character for JBL to be smoking cigars and playing cards backstage. They're very rude to the local people before Akira shows up and pretends to not know how to play poker before taking all of their money. That leads to a match between the two, which was surprisingly competitive. Corbin still got the win, and Issa, I want to talk to you about this one. We talked about Ali earlier. This is what I was alluding to earlier. This was an example of a match. We knew the outcome. We knew how it was going to go, but it still gave us just enough of that. But what if?
What if
Akira wins? He got some offense in. He looked a little spicy during the match, I guess, as opposed to Ali, who just got beat up.
No, I never thought that, Jack. I'm sorry. But I will say, I really was hoping this was leaning into poor Corbin again, because that was my favorite version of Corbin, and I've been dying to see him again. And like seeing him like with the shirt undone, kind of like falling apart with the poker. Also, how good are you at poker if you fall for the, oh, I don't know how to play poker line?
That's true.
Come on, rookies. But yeah, the match was fun. I praise the end of days every single time I see it, and I continue to do it. Doesn't matter who he hits it from, it just looks You were just talking about it. It looks like a finisher. Like, nobody should kick out of that. Love the way that it looks. It's visually appealing. And coming from such a big guy as Baron Corbin hitting it, it's just chef kiss. Every time I see it, I love the move, no matter how I feel about whatever character Corbin is playing at the moment.
Corbin is so good in the ring. Like, no one, I know people like on Twitter may not like him or whatever, but he's so good. His matches are always good. He's so good at what he does. And Issa, like you said, his finisher looks like a finisher. It always looks so smooth when he does it, but I just try to imagine actually doing that to someone. It'd be so hard to like reverse momentum and all. I don't know. It's incredible. Jimmy, I was thinking as I was watching this, how funny would it be if Baron Corbin started teaming up with JBL because JBL's got the money and knows what he's doing, and JBL's advice caused him to lose all his money again?
Oh, that, well, you never know. That may happen, or either that or JBL ends up, you know, taking the money from Corbin down the line, and just he's working Corbin, and you know, because JBL is that kind of millionaire. But no, that's interesting. That's an interesting take. I didn't think of that, but yeah, there are a lot of possibilities here. But this adds another dimension to Corbin, like you said. We talk about underrated or underappreciated talents in the ring, and Corbin is definitely underappreciated as a talent in the ring. And now that we're getting to see this side of him, I'm liking it, and this fits right in with the JBL stuff. It just makes sense. And does Corbin need someone to talk for him? Not necessarily, but at the same time, pairing him up with someone like a JBL maybe hopefully gets him to that next heel level that he needs to get to, and people will start to take notice that, hey, maybe there is something here.
JBL is not afraid to just go for the throat of the local crowd and just like tear into them
every single time.
I've had the pleasure on many nights to stand in the ring with JBL and have to kind of keep my eyes open that make sure nobody jumps the rail and have to and then me have to. Because that's what you got to do. You're the one who has to tackle them, you know, so to speak.
Right. Lucky you. You've got these guys who are just like mountains of men, and they're like, Jimmy, can you handle this?
Well, you know, because they can get sued, believe it or not. Well, anyway, it's a long story, but technically it's security, and then the referee, and then after that, they're defending themselves.
Right. Interesting. That's an interesting. I didn't know there was a hierarchy.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it a hierarchy, because, you know, like I'm not like a trained defender, but at the same time, I could run interference pretty good. Being from Canada, I'm playing hockey, so, you know, I know how to run interference.
Right. You could check them. But JBL, yeah, because a lot of people come in and be like, you guys are all a bunch of idiots, but like he will like fine tune what he's saying to that specific crowd and just really cut deep. And you can tell it's a different level of. Yeah, you know, of boos he's getting. It's not just like, oh, boo, you're saying mean things. It's like,
and little subtleties that he throws out there, you know, like the Ugandan whiskey or Ugandan.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It's like just tremendous.
Does Uganda do they actually make whiskey?
I have no idea.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought about that. I'm like, what? Why wouldn't you want the Kentucky kind? That's a good kind. Like, that's what I thought.
Exactly. Because, see, there you go. Because he's in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. Don't put over their booze. Put over, you know, fine Ugandan whiskey.
And you know, now that you mentioned that, that's the only reason why Akira Tozawa got some offense on there, because Baron Corbin was half drunk in this match.
There you go.
But that's a good little angle to add too. It made it. Yeah. I thought this was a match. I think any other time you would have been like, "This is stupid," but I was like, "Oh, this is kind of fun." And Akira's looking, like I said, feisty. I never thought he was going to actually win it, but you're still kind of like, "Oh, he's."
And they gave him a reason to be on TV as well. There's a lot. We've seen a lot of people come back the last few weeks that they just kind of show up, but they did the backstage bit, so it made sense for him to get the match.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, like in the match, actually Corbin got Tozawa over, and like I said, if you don't make someone, then you didn't beat someone.
Right. Right. So it's good stuff there, and if they continue it, cool. If they don't, I feel like that's also cool. I feel like it kind of was its own little mini story within the show. Speaking of mini stories, we get to the final part of this episode. That's the main event: Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins. And this may shock you guys, but this was another really good match between these two. Of course it was. Finn Balor and Seth Rollins are involved. Judgment Day eventually show up. Then the OC shows up. It's a big melee, and AJ shoves Balor off the top rope, leading to Seth taking advantage and getting the win, which is a story in its own. But Seth Rollins gets attacked by an angry Austin Theory, who holds the title over him as we go off air. Issa, this is, again, angry Austin Theory. Looks like he might get that title shot after all.
Yeah, I feel like we're moving on to a feud between Seth and Theory. So also the cashing doesn't make any sense. You could have come up for the open challenge and now you're going to feud with him. You wasted the briefcase, but that's beyond the point. Now I'm overthinking and nitpicking. First of all, I love this match. It started slow, but they gave him a lot of time. But I feel like that last 10 minutes of this match was just nonstop. When they teased the SummerSlam spot with the turnbuckle onto the barricade, like the buckle bomb onto the barricade, I literally screamed out loud, like, no, that's how you hurt him. Like, I love the throwback.
Yes.
And Finn reversed that double suplex that I was talking about that that Rollins does. There's nothing that I love more than when you see performers that have wrestled a bunch of times look like they know exactly what to expect from that other person, and that showed here. It felt slightly a little bit AW-ish booking here at the end when you have so many storylines kind of like trying to become involved. You had the Judgment Day come out, the club, and then Austin Theory to set up with Seth. But listen, it's great. I just wish we would have had a little bit more time before we got Theory here, because I'm still in that mentality like, boy, you really wasted that briefcase if you're still going to get end up feuding with Seth Rollins. Why not just get mad and do what you did tonight and you still would have set up yourself for a feud? But yeah, I really, really thought the match was fun, and I just needed a little more time to kind of like digest the cash in and maybe Theory kind of like being angry at himself. Like, why not everybody make fun of him today backstage or his coworkers, or let him come out to the chance and then next week have him snap like that and blame it on Rollins, you know, instead of I won the title, no, I'm going to mess you up because now everybody thinks I'm an idiot, you know. So that's my critique here. But fun match between these two. We kind of knew that's what we were going to get between them. And a lot of people coming out at the end to set up different angles felt very convoluted.
It did feel, you're right, I like the AEW comparison, because they also, even in timing compared to their shows, they a lot of times would do these big things at the end to kind of push their next big pay-per-view, and kind of in the same timing space as where Survivor Series is to this show.
Not to correct you, Jack. Sorry to cut you off. Not to correct you, but the only problem in AEW is they don't only do it in the final segment. They do it quite often throughout the entire
every segment,
show.
Basically.
There's like a brawl after every match.
Well, they don't have Jimmy there to keep him in line. That's the problem.
Yeah, you probably won't be seeing me.
Jimmy's the only reason why this podcast has gone smooth tonight between you and I.
We're building up to the pay-per-view, so that's the premium live event. Right. That's how this goes. We gotta wait till May.
This is when we coexist before one of us backs
up. One of these, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're just going to drop off the apron and not take the tag and leave me hanging, and then Jimmy's going to finish me off.
Walk away laughing.
So this was a, like I said, at the start of the show, this was a very interesting episode. I don't really know how to, I feel like if I compare it to the last 3 months, this was probably one of the longer episodes for me personally. Mm-hmm. I think if I compare it to 6 months ago, this was great. If I compare it to 2 months ago, I don't know. I felt like this didn't go that well. This wasn't one of my favorites. But Jimmy, how about you?
No, it was okay. And that's the problem. It was just okay. It almost has like a different vibe from Friday nights or even Tuesday nights. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just feels like two completely different flows. And I get it. Raw is 3 hours and it's a little, you know, time consuming. Let's put it that way. And you got to fill the time differently to keep your audience interested. But at the same time, you know, you got to be better with stuff like that. And like you said, it, the ending there, usually it's what people remember once they finish watching the show. And if they keep remembering at the end that brawl, that just felt like, okay, you know, like you said, Austin Theory comes up. I would have preferred, here we go again with the fantasy bookie. I would have preferred that there wasn't a real finish to this match instead of the other one. And Austin Theory causes the no contest disqualification or something like that and say, no. I am winning this U.S. title match, not you and whatever the case may be or something along those lines. And then have your beat down.
I was wondering, where'd Bobby Lashley go? Doesn't he still want a title shot? Yeah. Like, or did he just go, nah?
That's what I meant about him feeling random. I didn't feel that much about it in the beginning, but at the end when he also didn't show up, I was like, okay, so Bobby Lashley just don't care. What is it that he's after?
At least show him in the back watching the match and saying, I don't care who wins this title, I'm taking it from him. Right. Or something like that. Anything.
Yeah. Right. Especially if you're having a big everyone out there anyways, like why not throw him out there and make it a big thing happening? I don't know. But
I hear you.
I don't know. This was I feel like this was episodes that could either be one that like we just washes away in time, or we'll look back on and be like, wow, they actually did a lot of stuff that later mattered. But
We don't know what they're setting up. To me, it felt very mid. I always see it as, was there something that you had to watch or did you miss something huge? Mm-hmm. Not really here. But again, when you go back to like 12 months ago, the worst of the new era is better than what we were getting. I just thought that we still had a couple of weeks of really good shows before Survivor Series, before we start getting that kind of like calm down season through the holiday shows, because you know they don't really book a lot of good stories, especially without Day One. So I was like, maybe this week and next week we're gonna get some really solid shows before we really start seeing that season, which is like a whole 4 weeks. Before we start setting up for the Rumble. Regardless, I mean, there was a lot of really enjoyable wrestling on TV tonight. A lot of really good matches that even if they felt predictable, these guys like killed it in the ring tonight. Mm-hmm.
Is there a show between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble?
No.
It was supposed to be
just Day One and it got canceled.
Wow.
That's what I mean. Unless they schedule something or an international show, Jimmy, but the only they reschedule Day One for later. But the only thing that we have between them was Day One, and that's off. That's what I'm saying. I was hoping that the last few shows before Survivor Series were going to be action-packed, because I have a feeling we're about to enter 4 to 5 weeks of a lot of nothingness before people start, I declare myself, and sign pointing, you know?
Right.
Oh yeah,
that's my favorite time of the year, by the way. Sign pointing season is my favorite time of the year.
It's the best. Yeah, I would say like after the new year, once we start building the Royal Rumble, that's what I say. WrestleMania season starts is as soon as Royal Rumble.
Yes,
that's the real start. I love it.
Like, I need to see a sign being pointed at. That's when WrestleMania season starts for me. Mm-hmm. As soon as I see a sign, I mean, last year I almost lost my life. I was like right under it, and that thing caught on fire when Ronda Rousey pointed at it, and they evacuated the whole area.
Wow.
They like made like the whole area in front of me empty. I was just in the one behind us, so we didn't have to leave. But I was like, you know, because I've always said I need to see a sign being pointed at for it to feel like WrestleMania season, but they went crazy last year. Wow.
Well,
and you could see the fire. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. That's so funny. I didn't know you were there. Well, good thing you got out okay. But I think that does it for our show. I think that does it for this episode. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone who is watching or who watched along. Again, remember, like, comment, share, subscribe. Thank you to Bernie, to Ian, to Steven, to Dylan, to Justine and Samantha, and shout out to Tina Miller in the chat, Rocky, and everybody else. Appreciate y'all. Tuck, didn't see you earlier. Baby Ice, Christopher, everyone else. Thank you so much for being here. But before we go,
thank you for putting up with
Hey, guess what? This is where you get to put yourself over. Issa, where can the world find you and all the other stuff you're working on?
Please, you guys can find me here Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at Lucha Libre Online, my YouTube channel at NYC Demon Diva. We're about to hit 20,000 subscribers, so I'm super excited.
Nice.
Yeah, so give her a follow. Get her over the 20,000. She's taking Justin's job, apparently. She called her shot for Monday here.
Not with you.
Jimmy, where can the world find you and all the stuff you're working on?
Well, you can find me right here on Mondays and Wednesdays after Dynamite on Wednesdays as well as after Raw Monday nights with you and usually Justin. So we're Triple J, but we're glad to have Issa fill in at any time. And I join Issa every Wednesday night as well. So that's also very cool. And you can catch me from Monday to Friday doing my riff and rants on all my social media outlets, where I just give a little critique and have a little fun.
Super oozy rant from Jimmy Cordero.
Very oozy. And you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And of course, make sure to follow. Oh, Jimmy.
No, I like that, but maybe we can call it being very reffy.
Reffy rants. Oh, I'm
you
here
gotta,
for
you gotta get, oh, you gotta man. Get a shirt. You gotta get that merch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've got the ref and rant shirts at prowrestlingtees.com. Maybe I got it. I'm feeling very reffy today.
Very reffy.
Love that.
Well, make sure to check all that out. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. Make sure to check out the after NXT show on Wrestling Inc. Make sure to check out the after Dynamite show. Make sure to check out the after SmackDown / Rampage show, and make sure to check out the after, I'm sure we're doing a, Full Gear and everything else. Make sure to check out all that stuff. Just follow Wrestling Inc. It's the easiest way to do it. That does it for us. Again, thank you guys. Like, comment, share, subscribe. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.